It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Haifman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Haifman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Crowns, huh? No crowns after the week one stink job against the Vikings in Minnesota. That did not go the way most of us hoped. Unfortunately, it did go a way that we kind of foresaw if certain things weren't done, bro. And Ben and Jason here with you, Haifman Bros, for our show. We're going to get more. We got stuff to analyze now. We got actual live games, action, starting players playing football to talk about tonight. And we're going to tell you that before we move on and look ahead to Chicago. So we got game review and then game preview. How you doing, bro?
Well, not so great. That game was absolutely terrible to watch. Also, Denny Green, 2 swears. Ben, 0 swears. Heads up, just so you know. 2 shows, 2 swears. None for me, 2 for Denny Green. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we all know what it was. It was terrible. We did a reaction to it after immediately, and not much has changed since. We know some things now. The first drive where Rodgers threw the ball out wide and Romeo Doubs did an in cut, that was not a mistake by Romeo Doubs. Aaron Rodgers just threw the ball away. So everybody went after Romeo Doubs like, these receivers are running the wrong route. No, Aaron Rodgers just threw the ball away, and it made it look made him look bad, but it wasn't his fault. That's just one thing. Also, you know, I don't know what the defense was. They were playing, hey, you want to run right here and nobody follow you? Sure. Go ahead. Yeah. Do that. We'll just stand here and watch you. And that's what they did a lot of, except for Quay Walker. And then after the first quarter, Rasul Douglas. Those two guys made a ton of solo tackles in the flat, on the outside. Really good play. Attack, tackle, go. Also, Keyshawn Nixon. One play, one tackle, one injury. The injury part, not so good. But everything else, pretty dang good. So there's positives. There's some nice things there. But most of it is just god-awful bad. Made me want to cry. I live in Minnesota, so it's been a tough week. And yeah, so let's move on. But yeah, also, we got to talk about it.
I'm sure you don't want to talk about it anymore because you've been probably getting a lot of flack. Ben lives over in Rochester currently. Unfortunately for him, he's on the wrong side of the border as a Packers fan. And when the Vikings win, and you're surrounded by Vikings fans in that Packer-Viking matchup, it is not fun whatsoever. You get a lot of trash. Because the Vikings don't... Now, okay, the Vikings have not won a Super Bowl, so they always get trash for that. But after this victory, it is now 10-9-2. The Packers only lead by one game in the last 10 years and in one game. So, and Kirk Cousins, head-to-head against Aaron Rodgers, 5-4. Aaron Rodgers 4-5 against Kirk Cousins.
I mean,
head to head.
As everybody knows, I have the NFL Plus, which gives you, man, I keep putting the in front of everything like an old person. Anyways, I have NFL Plus, which gives you the all 22 film, and I can guarantee, tell you right now, not guarantee, but confirm, Kirk Cousins had a better game than anybody realizes. And Justin Jefferson is a good player. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But Kirk Cousins made Justin Jefferson look like a superstar. It wasn't just Jefferson. He did do some good things. Don't get me wrong. Jefferson did run good routes, all that sort of thing. But Cousins, there's one play in particular, just insane. Great play by Cousins. And he had really no pressure. And the other, when he did get pressure, he found a way. He got the ball out of his hand like within 1 second of getting creamed. Or not even, like a millisecond of getting creamed. Where Rodgers took a bunch of sacks, fumbled. I mean, it was like, who is this? One guy looked like Kirk Cousins. One guy looked like Aaron Rodgers. It's like their mind switched, but their body, you know, it was Face Off. Right?
Face Off.
Remember that terrible movie, Face Off?
It was a terrible movie, yeah.
And yeah, well, that's what it was.
We actually had to watch that on a bus tour, right? I think we watched it on a bus tour.
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Well, I had to see it. Anyway, continue.
I ignored it. But it seemed like it was Face Off to me.
It was weird.
Like Kirk Cousins was wearing Aaron Rodgers' ability, and Aaron Rodgers was wearing Kirk Cousins' ability, and it was just weird. Like, what are we doing here? It's just, come on.
I mean, we've talked about it before. Kirk Cousins can run an offense. And he does that very well. And now he's got an offense that's even giving him a little bit more latitude. You know, the head coach is more of an offensive-minded coach instead of the way Mike Zimmer was. And Vicky Moe talked about that, how conservative Mike Zimmer always was and how he kind of held Cousins back. But Kirk Cousins can run an offense, and he can throw an accurate football. And if you give him time, he'll pick you apart. No problem. And he did that. Now, you mentioned Justin Jefferson. Let's talk about it. Matt LaFleur had some, and we've got some cuts we're going to play from Matt LaFleur here and during the show tonight. And some of them conflict with certain things that were said by another person on the Packers. But one cut we're going to play actually talks about, gives you some insight into a little bit about what happened, why Justin Jefferson had such a big day. And part of it is defensive breakdowns and people not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, the sad part is, I don't know if you've, I watched the Jerry Gray interview, who's the secondary coach of the Packers, and he's a well-known player, coach, who was a player for nine years. He was a coach of the Vikings, for instance, for a couple years there, and then the Packers got him a few years back. And number one, it was he had some incoherent thoughts, I would say, which kind of scared me a little bit, because I know that Rasul Douglas has mentioned him as part of the reason why he played so well last year. But his answer to all the miscommunications was, we just got to play. No. You got to train, and you got to train. These guys need to know what the rules are, and apparently they don't know what the rules are. One of the big Justin Jefferson plays was a touchdown where Rasul Douglas went in and took the guy with him and stayed man, whoever that was. I think it was Thielen or somebody, and on the opposite side of the field, and this is from the slot, by the way, the opposite side of the field, Jaire Alexander had Justin Jefferson in front of him, and he just let him go. So one of them was right, one of them was wrong. Well, based on Jerry Gray's comments, Jaire was wrong, and Rasul was right. So, and then of course it led to the touchdown where Amos like tripped on the 2-yard line and fell down, and then Stokes just kind of watched him run in the end zone, and it was really sad and pathetic looking. But I don't want to get into that. I'm starting to turn into negative Ben. We're on the radio. I got to be positive Ben. So
we also have to be truthful. Yeah. We also have to be truthful and honest. This is what happened in the game. All Packers fans were very frustrated. A lot of people totally freaked out, overreacted. Oh, my gosh, what is this? Now, there's some other trends here that aren't great because Matt LaFleur, you know, 3 years in a row, starting out really sluggish in the open, under his stead, okay, really sluggish in the openers. And, you know, looking really bad the last two. I mean, getting whooped. And looking like your team can't even compete, even though I will say the effort seemed to be there from a lot of the guys. But, man, I mean, they made a lot of mistakes. They didn't look like they knew what they were doing. And then, also, the way they chose to attack the Vikings on offense was very confusing. Because they did things we had talked about, which is feature A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones on certain drives, and those drives were successful and productive. And then they didn't do those on other drives. And what happened? They stalled out and punted the ball.
I'm going to say some more things, too. A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, about half the time, when they get a target from Aaron Rodgers, it is not a good target. It's a late pass. There's already a guy almost within 5 yards of them. They have to catch it and then turn around and try to make a move. And the guy's in their face and they get tackled right away. Now, there were a couple plays that were successful where Rodgers hit his back foot and boom, dumped it off to A.J. Dillon or Aaron Jones, and they went up for 20 yards along the seam or along the side of the sideline. Happened twice. Very good plays. Awesome. But a lot of times when they're the last outlet or he should be going through his read, this guy's cover, dump the ball off, he waits too long for the guy to get open and then dumps it off. So I don't know. And we all know the Christian Watson drop, the huge play at the start of the whole offensive series. Right. Sad. And I don't know what else to say there. It's just, there's nothing else you can do.
Well, and a lot of people, okay, the problem I had with the press that was asking questions after the, you know, for the post-game press conferences, I think they asked Aaron Rodgers about that drop like 6 or 7 times. And that just fed the narrative like, oh my God, that drop, if he just caught it, the whole game is different. Yeah, there's 70, 60 some other plays that you can change the game on. So come on, one play and at the beginning of the game. Now, don't get me wrong, right, if he catches it and scores a touchdown, it could be different. You definitely have 7 more points on the board. Fantastic. He's feeling great. But That's one play, and it's one mistake. And there are plenty of guys that made mistakes in this game. You can't put that all on him. Let's talk about Christian Watson on the positive. What did he show us in this game? I was impressed. You saw his physical abilities and tools, and if he catches balls, he's going to be scary.
I can tell you right now, based on watching the film, there were multiple times that he got open. Okay? There were some times where he didn't. And after that first play where he went deep, there's other plays later on where they tried to send him deep. And Patrick Peterson's like, I'm just running straight back as far as... Like, he just stuck with him. Like, he was not going to get beat. So there was no more opportunities for that. And plus, their, you know, pass protection wasn't very good. There wasn't enough time for Rodgers to even hold the ball long enough to chuck it up there. But Peterson was not letting him get past him anymore after that point. But that's one thing. The other thing is, people may not know this, he recorded the fourth fastest time in the NFL this week where a guy with the ball in his hands running. Whether it was on a catch or a deep pass, and it was on his end around. I mean, the guy's got speed. The guy's got agility. If he could just catch the ball, that would, I mean, really change some things. You know, we talked about it when he was drafted. He has the potential to be a Randy Moss type player. Okay? A difference maker, superstar, huge monster dude. The problem is he's not there yet. Randy Moss showed up and he was ready to go, and he fell in the draft because of, you know, off the field issues. This guy's a great guy. He's got issues catching, and he needs to work on that big time.
Yeah, Christian Watson, incredible talent. You know, they drafted him on the talent, on the potential. He was not a finished product coming out. They knew it. Again, he switched to receiver only a handful of years ago. He played quarterback in other spots before that. So he's figuring it out. But, man, tall, fast, physical. The guy could really be something if he's nurtured properly and given enough opportunities. That is the other key. So we're going to head to a break here in this show tonight. And when we come back, we're going to hear some sound because there's a little bit of drama going on this week in Packer world after 1 week. And it's coming from some statements between what the coach says and what QB1 says. We'll examine those when we come back on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Packer Outright Opinion Show with Hayford Bros. At one point, I think this is Ben's theme song, right?
It still is. I got drums downstairs. I can do it right now.
Oh, man. It seemed like some of the Packers didn't want to work last week, but they're going to turn their attention to the Bears here this week with a home opener at Lambeau Field, Sunday night home opener. You know, Aaron Rodgers loves to get up for evening games, Ben, and plays really well Sunday night. So I'm sure it's going to be a very different game coming up. But we got a couple of things that we got to examine here. And before we get into that, now, this past week, there's a little drama. At least I saw it. And I think the people that pay close attention to this stuff saw it and can read some of these messages going out. But Matt LaFleur had some comments. First off, the defense. Matt LaFleur talked about the defense here for the Packers and some issues with that. And we got a cut from Matt LaFleur thanks to the Packers YouTube channel.
It's just disappointing when you have a veteran group at certain spots and you do have those miscommunications. So we're just guys not playing their responsibilities.
Guys not playing their responsibilities. Head coach said it after reviewing the game film, was talking about the veteran defensive group. Ouch.
Well, I think he's specifically talking about one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL. Oh, did I say that? I got to watch myself because he's so good. And
that's
he is
what
good.
We hear.
And that's the
yeah.
thing. He is good.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're not playing as a team, things go bad. Last year, Rasul Douglas came in along with Eric Stokes. And the defense, what was the key thing? We didn't have Za'Darius Smith out there because he likes to do his own thing sometimes and cause havoc, which is bad news for us on Sunday. But with the Packers defense last year, they played as a unit, 11 guys working together. Sometimes these stars like to do their own thing. And a matter of fact, Aaron Rodgers is also one of the guys who likes to do his own thing instead of doing what's supposed to be done and work as a team. So it's happened on the defense now as well, where Jair looks like he missed a couple assignments, didn't do what he was supposed to do, or whatever the case is, and he probably wasn't the only one. I mean, let's face it, Amos and Savage did not have good games either. I don't know if they missed assignments or they just were out of sorts or who knows what, but it was not looking good in the secondary. And that's probably what he's talking about. But it could have been, you know, defensive lineman. I'll tell you this much, offensive line as well. I know you're not going to get there yet.
It was rough.
It was rough. Bad. A lot of missed assignments and just also just physically beaten.
Right.
You know, I mean, Za'Darius Smith looked like Za'Darius Smith 2019 again. And we don't want to see that ever again because he's not a Packer anymore. So let's see him look more like last year or the year before when he kind of sucked every now and again.
And the Packers were still paying him $11 million to beat up on him. So let's not do that.
It was really sad. They were paying him $11 million to kick our butt. That's just great.
Let's go to another cut. The other thing Ben and I talked about last week, use Aaron Jones, use A.J. Dillon, keys to winning the game. 10 carries for A.J. Dillon, 5 carries for Aaron Jones. Not enough. Head coach Matt LaFleur said the same thing.
When two of your best players are your running backs and they have, I think it was 18 touches total, that's not good enough. So was it 18 or was it more than that? 23. Well, regardless.
Still not enough.
We need to get them the ball more, especially in the run game.
Yeah, need to get those guys the ball more. Matt LaFleur said it, right? Matt LaFleur said it. Now, here's where a part of the drama comes in. Evan, if we can have Aaron Rodgers talking about the not enough running of the football, let's hear Aaron Rodgers, what he said this week.
Well, I think you got to stick with the run a little bit more. You know, I think maybe reacted. Nothing against Matt. I mean, Matt probably said the same thing, but we maybe reacted to the score a little bit, and we ran the ball well. I think we ran it like about six a clip, so we got to just stick with the runs, make sure we're getting our attempts where we want it to be.
So the head coach said we didn't run enough, and now the guy that was on the field running the offense, who has all the ability to change the plays all the time and change out of runs to passes, said we didn't run enough, but then we maybe overreacted to the score. If you're listening at home, how do you take those two statements, and what does that mean to you?
Nobody's listening right now other than me. Okay, well, you're talking to people at home who can't respond. But what I heard was the same thing from both of them. But the thing that's really odd about it is this.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they were behind. In the game, the Vikings said, hey, guess what? We're playing deep. We're not letting you go deep on us anymore. We're going to play a zone, and we're going to cover guys. And they kind of gave the Packers a little bit of the running game at times. Though still our guys couldn't block. The offensive line couldn't block anybody, which is, you know, at times pretty sad. But a lot of the big runs and a lot of the production of the run game came in the second half when they were down by a bunch of points. I want to see them run the ball in the first half more. That's the issue. They chose to pass way too much in the first half, which lead to, oh yeah, no points, stall drive, no points, stall drive, no points. And what did we have at halftime? No points. I want to see the stats. How many runs did they have in the first half? Because in the second half, we saw them get the runs, which sounds bad. Nobody wants the runs.
That does sound terrible. Why would you say that? That's
but you know what I'm saying? Hey, we're the poo show, right? You get the runs. But the Packers need to get the runs in the first quarter. Let's get the runs right off the bat. Okay?
They really should. It's just perplexing to me, and it makes you wonder because Matt LaFleur is coming out strong in the media saying, we need to get those guys the ball more. We need to run the ball more. Is he sending a message to his quarterback because he tried to do it privately and didn't? I don't know. Either way, those statements don't add up. They're the same statement from two different people, and they both said that they didn't do it enough. The question to be asked is why? Well, we have a couple more statements to examine when we come back, and hopefully we get a caller or two, and then we'll turn our attention to the Bears because the Bears still suck, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. We are out of here. We're Hafeman Bros. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Come on back. 844-967-2789 if you want to call.
I gotta say something. Evan is trying to get us pumped up because he knows we're so down and in the dumps. I mean, every song so far has been like a woohoo or I don't want to work. I mean, it's a touchdown song. I mean, he's trying to get us pumped up because we're so down about this last game and getting ready for the Bear game. And I appreciate that, Evan, but it's just not really working. I'm still sad.
And we have a call or two that we'll get to here in a second. From Minnesota, we welcome all callers on our program, and that's fine. We will certainly take him in just a minute. But I do want to say, we had to go over these things, right? Because there have been a lot of talk. There was a lot of talk this week. Comments from Aaron Rodgers, how he's not going to change the way he plays. Everybody's got to adjust to him, all this sort of stuff. But then there were other comments made. Which I don't get. Like, be a good teammate. But we'll turn our attention to the Bears, too, and we'll get that. No sweat. But let's get some callers here. We got Derek on the line. Evan, can we pull up Derek here, and let's hear what Derek has to say. Hey, Derek, you there?
It's Eric from Minnesota. Hey, guys.
Oh, it's Rick.
Oh, it's Rick. It's Raider Rick.
Raider Rick. How's it going?
It's going all right. Hey, guys, I know there were a lot of dark spots, especially on the defensive side of the ball last week. But some of the bright spots came from the defensive front. How do you think they're going to be up to the challenge of a more mobile quarterback this week with Justin Fields?
You're saying someone's more mobile than Kirk Cousins?
Maybe a little. just a bit. Yeah, but do you think the defensive front is going to be able to keep him contained so you don't have to worry about him scrambling and running all over them, which is something that's happened to Packers defenses in the past?
Are they going to have to
they got some speed with a guy like Walker? Are they going to have to devote a spy? What do you guys think?
Yeah, Ben, why don't you take that one?
Well, funny how you should mention that, Rick, because one of the plays that was the biggest play of the game was a Jefferson crossing route that Kirk Cousins stepped up into the pocket and threw it to him. Now, the reason why Kirk Cousins was able to do that was because the two outside pass rushers did an outside move. And the two inside pass rushers, Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry, also did outside moves. And there was a wide open gap. If they do that, Justin Fields, he's just going to run for 25 yards all day long, every play. So they need to be gap disciplined. As much as the defensive line did actually look pretty good, I watched all 22 film, Kenny Clark actually had a really good game. Dean Lowry had a solid game. A lot of those guys in the middle there were pretty good. On that particular play, I don't know what they were doing. They just all rushed to the outside and left a big gaping hole. They cannot do that against Justin Fields. Now, Kirk Cousins made him pay with a big deep pass. And guess what? Justin Fields can throw the ball deep. He did it against the 49ers last week in a monsoon. So if he can do it in a monsoon, he could certainly do it in the nice confines of Lambeau. And that's something that could happen. So you got to be gap disciplined, be smart. I do like the idea of Quay Walker maybe being a spy because he's faster than lightning and he had a lot of great tackles. Like I said earlier, you know, solo tackles in space where if he didn't make the tackle, it was going to be a big gain, and he made the tackle. So a very impressive debut, I thought, for Quay Walker, and he might be the answer. You know, him and Rasul Douglas maybe hanging around doing some cool stuff, watching for Fields at times, maybe being a spy, sneaking around. I like that.
Yeah, definitely some bright spots with Walker. Just got to make sure he stays healthy. But those guys got to fly around and play football, and injuries are going to happen. So you can't play scared. You got to play fast. He played fast. I like what I saw. All right, we got more callers here. We got Nick from Beaver Dam on the line. Nick, how are you? No? We don't have Nick? All right, let's go to Williams.
Must be sleeping. We'll check on him.
Okay, we'll check on him. He might have fallen asleep. I know his bedtime's early if he's the Nick that I know from Beaver Dam. But let's talk to William here on line three.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, William. Awesome. How are you? What are your thoughts today? What do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, you mentioned it briefly that obviously if Christian Watkins catches that ball, it's a totally different game, which is true. At the same time, Packers ran 61 total plays. They had 60 other opportunities to make a difference. I went back and checked. I believe we ran the ball 8 times in the first half, and one of those obviously was the goal line stuff. That's just not enough. But I do think that a little bit too much is being made about the Watkins drop. To give you a little bit of a comparison, there was another receiver that I found that in 2015, they caught 50 passes, but a very poor 9.7 yards per catch with a mere 3 yards after the catch. And this receiver had 12 drops of the 96 passes thrown their way, a 12.5% drop percentage, which led to a Pro Football Focus rank of 118 out of 119. That receiver, one Devontae Adams, was getting clean separation over and over and over again, just was unable to haul in the rock. Now, a good receiver will get open. Drops are going to happen, particularly with young talent. I think the most important aspect to look at with Watkins is he was open. You can't give him back that first play, but there have been receivers in the past who have struggled with drops early. Remember Jamar Chase's preseason last year, and they have came out and become dominant once they get that under their belt. I'm not terribly concerned going forward. I think the offensive line injuries definitely hampered the Packers' ability to get the run going early, but that doesn't mean you can give up on it like that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, the things you said, all those plays, all those opportunities afterwards, and you're right. The thing about Watson that is exciting is because we've seen plenty of Packers receivers who just didn't have the speed, the physical ability, the tools to get themselves, to get separation, and he showed you right away. I mean, he can do it on a go. He can change direction well. He's got size, so if you're on him, he can get a contested catch. He really does have all of the makeup and tools that you want in a dominant receiver, and it's just the catch part. And that is something that, again, he's newer as a receiver in his football life, in his football career. So give him a little time and keep throwing him the ball. Give him more chances because that's he's a big play waiting to happen.
I mean, no, that was great. He was on the field for 40 snaps. Only Sammy Watkins had more with 41. So they were clearly trying to get him involved. When your number gets called, especially with a guy like Rodgers, who really bases a lot of his decision-making on trust, you have to show him that you can make those plays.
Yep, it's true. There have been guys over the years that's happened to where all of a sudden they didn't get a lot of looks after. But, you know, a guy like Marquez Valdez-Scantling earned his trust after a little bit because it is first season. He kind of went away from him. And then Aaron Rodgers realized, I got to go to this guy. He is a big play guy. And he kept going to him more often. And you saw some success to the tune of 8. Ben's pointed out on our show before, 8 40-plus yard touchdowns that Aaron Rodgers has thrown in the last handful of years have been to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. So you need another guy like that, and it changes the dynamic of the offense. Ben and I have talked this whole preseason before we started doing the radio show. The offensive line was our biggest concern, way bigger concern than the wide receivers. It proved it again in this game. They got to figure it out. If Bakhtiari and Jenkins aren't healthy enough to play, put the best guys out there. Make it work and try to make it easy on them because a lot of those guys do not have many game reps, live game reps whatsoever.
Those are keys. Scantling also led the NFL in yards per reception the past 2 seasons. So we know that the deep threat has value to the LaFleur scheme. You just need to make sure that you're putting them in the right position to succeed.
Yeah, thanks, William, for chiming in and also for being involved in the station here a bit and for listening to our show. We appreciate it.
I think it's great. I like this comparison to Devontae Adams and his down year there. And the big difference is Devontae Adams had no speed. Devontae Adams never blocked on running plays. So think about that, Packer fans. If Christian Watson can figure out how to catch, which is what, you know, Devontae Adams learned to do, this could be Devontae Adams plus a great blocker plus the speed of Jordy Nelson. I mean, this could be a James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams combination of one man who can just take over a game, we said earlier. And it's just the talent is there, the physical talent, and the mental talent's there too. I mean, he had a higher score in the Wonderlic than Aaron Rodgers did. Hello, the guy's smart. And we all know about DeWonderlic if you go back and watch one of our earlier shows, which people on the radio aren't going to know, but we took DeWonderlic during the draft this last year. Well, it was DeWonder Rick from Ready Rick who called earlier. And we had some issues, but we did pretty good.
We found out together we would be a pretty smart football player. That's what we found out.
Yeah. Separately, we're idiots, but I'll take it.
So I just want to point out before we move on here real quick is that this whole scenario with what the Packers, what went wrong, what went right, we can talk about it. Everybody sees it. The reason I wanted to bring it up, because there were some things said. There were some things said about these young wide receivers. And Evan, if you can play what Aaron Rodgers... Okay, we're not even going to play Aaron Rodgers. We're going to play the last Matt LaFleur clip. But Aaron Rodgers said the receivers made some mistakes. You know, they're going to make those mental mistakes. How many minutes left we got, Evan?
5 minutes, man. We're good.
5 minutes? Okay, let's play the last Aaron Rodgers clip, and then we'll play the Matt LaFleur clip after that and compare.
The best thing to do is off to the side, in the cafeteria, in the locker room, you know, in a meeting room, put your arm around a guy and say, hey, look, this is what we need from you. Next time this comes up, I really need you to be thinking this when you break the huddle and this when you get the line of scrimmage and get this look at the snap of the ball and make this reaction. So the most important thing for a jump to happen is to not to repeat the same mistake twice. So these guys are going to make a lot of mistakes. The guys that don't repeat the same mistakes, we have more opportunities.
So first of all, that's a lot to be putting on somebody's plate as a rookie receiver. I mean, just think about all that on your mind. Like, you're trying to play football, you're trying to run the play that's called, you're trying to do all this stuff, and then you got to think all that stuff. However, even though Aaron Rodgers after the game said there were a lot of mental mistakes, he didn't care about the drop so much. He kind of downplayed that, but he talked about the mental errors and the mental errors over and over.
That's his theme, by the way. He says that a lot.
He was talking about the line too. He said the line and the receivers. But Matt LaFleur was specifically asked by Jason Wilde after these Rodgers comments about those mental errors, and this is what Matt LaFleur had to say.
You know, those young guys, I think for the most part, and I think you're talking more about the wide receivers, there wasn't a ton of mistakes by the young guys.
So, okay. One guy said there's lots of mistakes about those guys. The head coach says there wasn't.
Well, that's because there's two offenses, Jason. There's the Aaron Rodgers offense and the Matt LaFleur offense. And that's why I'm going to bring it up, and I don't want to be mad. Ooh, I promised I was going to do this. I'm going to do it. I don't care. When you have a guy who thinks he has to run his own offense as opposed to the head coach's offense, and everybody blames the play calling and the coach, you have to blame Aaron Rodgers too, because he has his own offense that he runs. Now, he's probably talking about the young players not knowing his offense. Right. Well, guess what, Rodgers? You weren't there the whole offseason to work with the guys so that they can learn your offense. So you can't blame them for that. You blame yourself for not being there for your team. Period. Either run the plays as way it's called and don't change stuff. Because apparently, whatever Matt LaFleur called, the players ran. Even the young guys. Because they've been there all offseason and they knew the plays. It's the plays, I think, that Rodgers makes up on his own that maybe they didn't know exactly how to adjust when the D-back goes backwards instead of forwards or goes outside instead of inside. And that's fine. But it's not their fault. They're young players who are just learning what to do. And when you have a guy who's been in the league for all these years and he thinks he has to have telepathic connection with all these receivers when he's only known them for a month and a half, you can't expect much out of them. And if you're going to have to hold these wide receivers that are rookies at such a high standard already, how about we hold our 18-year veteran to a high standard? Maybe as high as his contract is. Because that's the problem. It's your job to make you're making way more money than all these rookie wide receivers. It's your job to make them better, not them to adjust to you. You adjust to them and make them better, period. That's why you make the big bucks, Aaron Rodgers. All right, I'm sorry. I lost it on the radio. No, but that's the truth. That's the truth.
And we will tell people the truth on our show. That's part of our deal. We don't BS people. We're going to give it to you straight. And we have mentioned before, this is whether Aaron Rodgers can be really successful doing it his way is fine. However,
and he's not going to change. He said, I'm not going to change. I'm not changing.
He's in a different situation and he needs to realize it. He needs to realize it. You've got to adapt to the people around you and make it a little easier. If I was a rookie guy going out and had all that on my mind, you don't know, I'd screw up way more than one time. I'd screw up a bunch of times, and I make the same mistake multiple times. So then I guess I'd be in the doghouse. Anyway, we'll move on to the Bears when we come back, because when we come back, we'll have a new theme song about the Bears.
We take this disgrace. Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game. Even if from time to time they've been a little lame.
How they did on Sunday.
Fair enough.
The Bears still suck.
Well, maybe. However, they did win their opening game against a team that the Packers have struggled, and against a team that had Super Bowl aspirations. They don't anymore just because they lost to the Bears. They still do. But the 49ers, a quality team in crazy, horrible, wet, rainy conditions. It was a sloppy, ugly game, but the Bears found a way to win.
That field should be outlawed. It was pathetic. It's so terrible. It looked like a swamp. There's puddles everywhere. I'm surprised guys didn't like get hurt more.
Yeah. Now, I will say a couple of quick things. The Bears did an awesome celebration at the end, and apparently that was stemmed. They asked Justin Fields about it, about doing the belly slide, which he looked pretty cool the way he jumped up. And like, that was pretty, I got to give some Justin Fields some credit on that. But they did that, and he's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. One of the offensive linemen said to do it. And I'm pretty sure I know who that probably was. It was probably my favorite Packer, who's now on the Bears, Lucas Patrick, because he did one too. He went out there right away too. Anyway, I love LP. If anybody's new to our show, he was a Packer for 6 years, did whatever the Packers ever wanted him and asked him to do, played his butt off, and he's doing the same thing for the Bears. And I wish him well. So anyway, I'm going to be a fan of his regardless of what team he wears, colors for and all that. But the Bears showed us a couple things in the game, Ben. They played like garbage, right? They were looking like they shouldn't even be on the same field as the 49ers in the first half. But they stuck with it. They battled back, and they won.
Listen.
So you got to appreciate their fight.
They looked awful in the first half, and the team never got down. They did all they could. And, yeah, the conditions were something odd at the least, say. But as a collective unit, they made plays, they kept their hope alive, and they came back. And just the shot of the Packers right before halftime after the interception, saw a bunch of defeated guys, and that was when they had 0 points at halftime, and they never came back. They scored a touchdown, yeah, but that was mostly because Aaron Jones had that huge play, and then they got down there and did some stuff. But it was a difference. The difference between a team with a new head coach and maybe not as much talent, but they're obviously in it together. They're trying to do things. And then the Packers, they got a coach and they got some veterans who have heard the same thing over and over. And I don't know what, and they weren't together. They'd never been on the field together yet. Like almost all the starters sat all preseason. It showed in the game. One team came back and won. One team didn't even fight really. And this week the Bears will take it to us. They don't have the talent, but they're going to fight us. And are we going to sit there and get punched in the mouth and then bleed like Billy Bob Thornton does in Tombstone? Or are we going to fight back? I mean, come on.
I think one thing I was concerned with those looks that you were talking about on the sideline at halftime, but the Packers did battle back in the second half, and they did. The defense played a lot harder and a lot better. And so you saw some of the leadership in some of the fights. So you see there's a response there.
Yeah,
It didn't equal the same thing that it equaled for the Bears. And Eckes points out the Bears didn't win. San Francisco lost. Look, You win a game, you win a game. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it smells like. If you win a game, you win the game. The Bears won. They found a way to do it in terrible conditions. They stuck together. They battled through it, and they won. So give them credit for that. Are they as talented as the Packers? No way. No way. They're not. But let's go to Nico, who I know loves the Bears Still Suck song, and he probably sings that one in the shower every day. Nick, are you on the line?
I am. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
There you go.
Yeah, hey, long time listener. It's our second show.
No, I was kidding.
Are you guys doing predictions for the game this week?
Let's do it.
Of course.
We're almost done, so we got to do it.
What's your prediction, Nick, for the game, and how do you feel about the Sunday night game, Bears at Packers?
Packers by 60.
60? Wow.
That is some confidence. Wow. This man oozes confidence.
I think the Bears Still Suck is on his permanent playlist as well. And he might even have it on vinyl. Is that true? Do you?
It's my ringtone on my phone.
What makes you so confident, Nick, that the Packers are going to blow this game open?
Matt LaFleur, I believe, is 9-0 after losses in his career with the Green Bay Packers, winning by an average of 14 points. Double-check that for you if you have a stat person, but I believe that is correct.
You're the stat person, Nick.
You're also really good with useless bits of information, having those stored in your brain somewhere. So I'm going to go with it. I will say that the other reason I think that could be a good one is that out of the last 12 matchups, the Packers are 11-1 against the Bears in the last 12. So it's a pretty big trend. They usually beat them and usually beat them pretty good.
It's in Green Bay, Sunday night game. The announcers are going to be loving Rodgers. It'd be amazing.
Well, Ekis is also very Ekis is going to the game, apparently. Luck of the Ekis is bringing his luck to Lambeau Field. Just stay clear of Mason Crosby, Ekis. Don't get too close, because we know what you did to him back in 2018. Nick, thanks for calling and giving your score prediction. 60, the Packers by 60. Is that a shutout, 60, or is that, what is that?
63-3.
63-3. Oh, okay. Thanks. Bears get 3 points. Okay. William is calling back with his score prediction. What did he say? Coming to Lambeau, similar to Detroit coming to Lambeau last year, just what they did. Doctor ordered. Just what the doctor ordered for the Packers. Just like how they rebounded against a terrible opening loss last season. So people are feeling comfortable. Ben, how do you feel about this game? We know what the Packers need to do. They got to be just more assignment sound. Right, they got to play their assignments, play sound defense. If they don't screw up, they're going to win. They have a big talent advantage over the Bears, and they have a coaching staff that has been around a while, where the Bears coaching staff is all brand new.
I think the key is for Rodgers to pull the trigger downfield. Ekis is in the chat, that's not on the radio here, but he talked about how, you know, if we run the ball, maybe the Bears know we're going to try to run the ball, because that's all we've been talking about all week, and that might force us to pass. And they can't afford to look bad again, especially Rodgers. And you can blame it on the receivers, you know, all you want, but eventually something's going to come back to the coach and the quarterback. And the talent level does not compute. I mean, the Packers should destroy them, like Nick's talking. I don't know, by 60, that's a little too much. But I would say, I think this is going to be a good offensive performance. I don't think the Bears have the secondary to hang with us. They do have a pretty good corner right now, and they're making some things happen. So I'll say 24-10.
David says 17-10, Packers win. Ekis and his luck say 34-17, Packers win. I'm going to say 34-24, Packers win. So Packers win, Packers win, Packers win. That's it. Our time's up for this week. We'll be back next week for more Packer Outright Opinions. Enjoy the game Sunday night.